What's your favorite scary cocktail?
If you've been searching for the perfect way to elevate your horror movie nights, look no further. Cocktails from the Crypt is here to satiate even the most bloodthirsty killers with a collection of chilling cocktails. Created by us, your favorite horror podcasters and all-round weirdos, this horror movie cocktail recipe book is packed with movie trivia, cocktail tips, and hair-raising drinks crafted to pair seamlessly with the most iconic movies the horror genre has to offer.
Cocktails from the Crypt features 60 sinister sips, each designed to transport you into the heart of your favorite horror films, including the Texas Chainsaw Margarita, Freddy's Boilermaker, and the Frankenstein Fizz.
Don't miss your chance to be among the first to own this ultimate horror movie night companion. Pre-order Cocktails from the Crypt now from your favorite retailer. You know, like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Bookshop.org, Chapters Indigo, Blackwell's, or you know what? Just head to nofspodcast.com/go. We've got all the links there for you.
And don't forget to follow Nightmare on Film Street on social media for exclusive sneak peeks and behind-the-scenes glimpses from the making of Cocktails from the Crypt.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife. But it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
And this week, we are finishing up our Tourism Troubles double feature with Brandon Cronenberg's Infinity Pool.
Yeah, we're talking about Evil Abroad. Last week in The Serpent and the Rainbow, we talked about an American going to Haiti to experience the evil, you know, questionable evil. It's voodoo in Haiti. In this movie, Infinity Pool, it's the evil that visits the foreign land. Like, that foreign land, totally fictional for the movie, is doing fine without Americans. And then when the Americans show up, all hell breaks loose. Like, this movie is like, what if The Purge was an export?
Okay. Yeah, it's like a reverse Hostel kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, inverted Hostel.
This is like in one way to stimulate the economy and to build bridges with our foreign diplomats and visitors, we'll create a law, or at least a way that you can bypass the law with money, and it is maybe not for the best.
Well, it's also a third world country, and capitalism speaks, so... that's the situation.
The age-old adage that money can buy anything, money can buy anything except a soul.
Ooh.
Okay, so, for anybody unfamiliar with Infinity Pool, because it's relatively recent, we usually cover older movies on the podcast.
We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, it deals with a couple, played by Alexander Skarsgård and Cleopatra Coleman. He is a writer with writer's block. He's only written one book.
Six-year writer's block.
Yeah, six-year writer's block, and his wife comes from money. She's from the book world. Their marriage is on the rocks, but they're on a vacation in hopes that this is going to give him some sort of inspiration. Along the way, he runs into some trouble, accidentally kills a guy in a hit and run.
And then he meets some hedonists and parties with them.
Okay, we're gonna gloss over the fact that, like, he gets the death penalty, but is able to buy his way out of it by making a clone.
Well, I mean, we are here to talk about the movie for a half an hour. I'm sure we'll get to it.
Okay, fine. So these are our three good things about Infinity Pool, why we think you should check it out.
Okay, so I think a given with Brandon Cronenberg, he's got a few movies under his belt at this point. So we can kind of definitively say that this is his MO. This is something he does. But everything you see, and this film is pretty trippy. There's some hallucinogenic drug scenes. There's an orgy maybe sequence. It's all done in camera. So all of the lighting and the weird warping and twisting and contorting body things, it's all done in camera. It's practical effects. It's lighting gels.
Yeah.
It's a lot of experimental filmmaking.
Yeah, you would think, okay, yeah, you can do any of this stuff with computers in post effect. Like, you can just shoot some people in a room having sex and then afterward throw a bunch of, like, weird effects on it. But this is all in camera. It's not just that it's practical gore. It's practical hallucinatory trippy sequences.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's super fun, and it's something he's becoming known for, and so you can kind of expect, like, somebody does drugs in this, we're going to see some cool shit.
Good thing number two, something everybody's super familiar with at this point, Mia Goth going off the fucking Richter scale with this performance.
Full tilt Mia Goth.
Like, good God. Like, she starts, like, classic Mia Goth. Like, she's, like, a seductress. Like, maybe you can't trust her. She's just, like, a little too crazy. And then she becomes, like, a fucking living demon by the end of the movie.
And then the thing, too, is this film came out kind of right on the cusp of the Mia Goth surge. She's been doing genre films for a while, and she's
forever.
Always, yeah, she's always been on our radar. She's always been pretty cool, but she's getting so much credit for the Ty West trilogy, and it's just like, man, you think she goes 10 in those movies? Like, watch Infinity Pool.
Yeah, Infinity Pool is insane.
Good thing number three, I want to go with something really, like, nuanced. I did a bunch of, like, really niche picks for the last film, so I'm going to go with the creepy masks in this movie.
Oh, sure.
They're very unique. Brandon Cronenberg invented a culture, invented... The country is fictional.
Yeah.
So he had to establish, you know, some sort of cultural basis for these crazy tourists to tap into. And the masks are so cool. They're contorted faces that look warped, but they also still have that, like, facial element to them. So you recognize them as a face, but you can't make sense of it.
Yeah, and some of them have that... I don't remember what it is, that phobia some people have that everybody experienced during the Invisible Man movie, where it's like there's lots of dots on a person's face, like tiny little holes, like beehive holes.
Yeah.
Like, apparently that fucks people up.
I don't know if that's a real thing, but...
Oh, like ASMR?
It's creepy. We can all...
yeah, we all agree.
Universally, we can all agree it's creepy. I don't think something that everyone agrees is creepy can be a phobia, although spiders, arachnophobia is a thing. But I feel like generally everybody's like, yep, spiders, creepy.
Okay, so here's...
Too many legs to trust.
I was really curious, before we go to the trailer, what my three good things were back when I reviewed this movie at Sundance. And this is what I wrote. Because we saw Infinity Pool uncut. Like, we saw the uncut version. And last night, the version we watched was not uncut, and I'm very sad about it.
I love that it's called cut and uncut. I feel like they...
Specifically, for one scene?
I hope they used that on the Blu-ray release.
That'd be amazing. Okay, so my three good things back in 2023 were Mia Goth... eats a bucket of chicken on the hood of a car.
Pretty good.
Number two, Skarsgård stunt cock. And number three, someone gets ripped in half like a gory, blood-filled English muffin.
They do! Yeah, that's great. So, yeah, before we head to the trailer, before we get into the meat of the movie, let's talk about the meat in the movie.
Oh.
So the cock thing was really weird at release because Canada, we don't have NC-17, right? Like, or what is it, rated R or what?
Yeah, so we have 18, like 14A, 18A, and R. Like, it's, you either have to be 14 or accompanied by somebody who is 18. You have to either be 18 or accompanied by somebody who's 18, or hard R is just... nobody, you know, 18 and older. That's it.
But we don't have a rule about not showing NC-17 movies in theaters. Like, we saw this film in full glory. We saw the we saw the cut.
We saw the full hand job.
And we did not realize until, you know, at release, because we saw it ahead and we were doing reviews and we were talking about the film before it came out. And then when it came out in the US, nobody else saw the cock.
It's
and
insane.
We felt like crazy horny bastards.
I mean, I'll say that the trippy hallucinatory sequences, definitely no shortage of cock in any of those.
Well, I think it's because it's so contorted. I just see what I thought I saw?
It's more artistic at that point, mm-hmm. rather than just like, here is somebody.
And the film board was like, I don't think I saw that.
Yeah.
But I have to say, though, that the penis, if you get a chance to see the cut with it, it's very realistic. And it is a stunt penis. Like, Brandon Cronenberg has gone on record. Like, it's like such a simple prosthetic. It's just a pump and
yeah,
it does the thing.
Yeah. We got two different liquids that come out of it. Enjoy.
I wonder if Skarsgård had to consult on it.
That'd be great. Skarsgård seems
like, a little longer. Here's the trailer for Infinity Pool, and then we're going to get into the meat of this movie.
I don't understand why we're doing this. We barely know these people.
It's one day. Let's mix things up a bit.
Hi! You're just happy you found your fan club.
I've been waiting 6 years for your second book. Is it coming out soon?
I'm working on it.
What do you do for money, then?
He married Rich.
I actually came here looking for inspiration. Come on.
Mr. James Foster, you'll have to come with us.
Here, the punishment for any crime committed is death.
What? What did you say?
But for a significant sum, we'll build a double to send in for your execution.
Double.
Skin working into place.
So you to complete your transformation.
This is just a little game.
But I can take some blood.
Yeah! Daisy!
Show me how strong you are.
It's really disgusting. You could just sit there. Should happen.
You know, James, do you worry they got the wrong man?
Infinity Pool is currently sitting at a 6 out of 10 on IMDb, 87% on Rotten Tomatoes, with I think 54% from audiences.
Wow.
Yeah, and 3.2 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Now, as a fun little anecdote, because I don't know too many people in my life, just like regular people who don't watch movies all day every day, people who aren't poisoned by trippy, crazy genre films like Infinity Pool. I know that my dad watched it and he went, Jesus Christ. And I also know that we had someone dog sitting our puppies while we went to Toronto recently.
I forgot about this.
And we're just like, yeah, here's all of our streaming services. Go crazy. Watch anything you want. We were able to see that she started Infinity Pool and she did not finish it. That was so much fun to discover. Watched a lot of Grey's Anatomy and 20 minutes of Infinity Pool.
I bet you know exactly where she clicked off. It's really weird to recommend Infinity Pool because it's equally, like, it's sleek and it's a thriller. It's got sci-fi elements, but then I think some of those bits are a little not palatable, like the orgy sequence and the trippy visuals, and they aren't a huge part of the film.
What are you talking
about? But they're
about?
Enough to like spin you off the Lazy Susan.
There's like there's a huge, like, a third of this movie is a drugged out orgy. Like,
it's not a third of the movie, it's like 10 minutes.
I don't, the whole second half of the movie.
You can get up and get popcorn and come back and not not be none the wiser.
But beyond that, it is pure hedonism at one point, right? Like, they are just doing whatever they want. They're murdering people. They're being wild assholes at the breakfast in the hotel. Like, he's like Skarsgård is just like picking out maraschino cherries with his hands, spitting them out onto other tables.
Grossest thing in the movie.
That's the grossest thing.
Yeah, you have to be very comfortable with yourself in seeing horny things that are just equally as gross. So you got to be, you know, like a little titillated and a little grossed out.
Yeah, that is the Brandon Cronenberg recipe right there.
I'm gonna make you feel shameful about this. Oh, you like this? You like this? No, you don't.
Good luck recommending this to your normal friends.
They're like, wow, that was a lot of breastfeeding, John.
Yeah, okay, we're getting a little too like into the weeds of this. Let's roll back. Let's just talk about the movie as is.
The craziest thing about this movie, and it being, you know, like a hedonistic murder movie filled with sci-fi stuff, the actual sci-fi elements are such a small portion of the movie. Like the tech, how things are done, or even the fact that cloning has been achieved and is in practice.
It seems
and
perfect
being
too,
used.
Right?
Yeah, like we are there. Cloning is here and happening, and we're not marveling at it at all. We're just like, yeah, let's make some clones to be doubles for our bodies when we murder people.
It's pretty great.
It's maybe one of my favorite things about this movie, because I do love thinking about the themes and the like, the morality around it, and less about the process of cloning.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I would much rather deal with that shit than have somebody sort of explain to me over a half hour period how it's done. The characters in the movie also don't really know how it's done, and then there's a moment where they kind of realize they don't really necessarily care all that much. Like, what's more important is the access that it gives them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes this a great story, because like, it doesn't really matter how they do it. Like, what's important is how it affects the world, how it affects what these characters do. I think it's still like one of the greatest sequences of the movie where he gets cloned.
Yeah, because you get enough of a taste of it is that, okay, well, this is extremely uncomfortable and it's a little bit violating. And also, there's a chance that they're bullshitting me and they're just going to murder me. Like,
yeah.
I'm in a third world country. I thought I was going to be shot in the back of the head, buried in a hole somewhere and forgotten about. And now somebody's coming in and is like, yep, so the rules here are that his firstborn son gets to murder you because you murdered his dad. But because you're a rich white guy from America, you can buy a clone of yourself and he can assassinate the clone.
They don't even tell you how much it costs. He just says for a significant sum.
They take him to like a grungy ATM and he pulls out, you know, the limit.
Yeah, he pulls out a lot of cash. And like the best part about all of this, too, is that he doesn't come from money whatsoever. Like, he's just a guy who wrote one book and has done nothing else except marry a rich woman. You know, like James is Alexander Skarsgård's character. His wife, M, their marriage is not in a good spot.
No, and they don't say a lot to each other, but we can feel the tension and the stiffness and the we're at a point. This is definitely a defining point in the marriage. Like,
yep.
This is basically, I think he's on his last shot. Either get your ducks in a row, start writing again, get your inspiration or whatever. But like, this is the last trip. I think this is the last thing she's going to fund for him.
I agree. Yeah. Like, it's after this, like you said, you just needed some inspiration. Clearly she's paying for the vacation and he doesn't really seem to be doing anything or looking for inspiration.
Yeah. Cause she's like, come, there's a bus trip to here. Like, let's go see the culture. Let's go do some stuff. And he's like, eh.
Yeah, but when he meets Mia Goth on the beach, her character's name is Gabby. She's actually read his book. She thinks it's great. Her and her husband, Albin, invite him out to dinner to the same fucking spot that M wanted to go to that he didn't give a shit about. And suddenly, we're there. They've made a dinner reservation and now it's a great idea.
This is a great point, too, to talk about like the interesting subtext on just like vacation culture.
Oh, yeah.
Because the restaurant they go to is a Chinese restaurant and
in this Eastern European country.
Yeah, so the country is La Tolka. It's a fake country, but the resort that they're in, it's kind of typical to those tourist destinations where you go to the resort, it's kind of whispered around that you shouldn't leave the resort, like everything's on the resort for you. You can do all your shopping, your dining, your entertainment on the resort. Sometimes we have like, you know, escorted bus tours, but like you should never leave the tourist destination.
Yeah, because it's so dangerous outside of the resort.
Yeah, and then but the inside is this fabricated culture, and and especially here we're seeing in this like La Tolka experience, they're doing, they show a little bit about the La Tolka, like they have a face paint that they do, they have those masks, but who knows if that's even real culture?
Yeah,
that's true. Like, we do we really know? But then there's also Chinese culture, and then there's a Bollywood dancing. It's
that's
just,
the weird part.
Like you're not even in a real culture when you're going to this destination. Like, you're just going to this Americanized Disneyland version of what a across the world vacation would be like.
Exactly. It's like going to Epcot and being like, I know what Japan's all about. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I had a flight of sake there once. Like, that's
okay, don't
not
knock
at all.
Epcot though. It's super fun.
I like Epcot a lot, but I would never claim to understand any of the countries that I visited on during Epcot.
Oh no. You're getting like a commercial.
Yeah, like going to a tiki bar and being like, Hawaii is the greatest country in the world. You're like,
white people from the 1950s is what tiki is.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'll say this about the sort of like the markings that they're wearing for the rain season that's coming. So it's kind of like the end of harvest. When that kid kills Skarsgård's clone,
he
he's
does
also
have
wearing
the marks.
That mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's at least part of their culture. I mean, the masks are probably something that not everybody uses or anything, but like, yeah, historically it's part of it. I love that they've got a band there at the hotel to play some of the ceremonial music, the festival music, and it sounds creepy. Like, it sounds like a Danny Elfman dirge. It's really weird. I would totally listen to it all day. But it sets a strange mood. The other thing that I love about this movie in terms of vacation culture is that these vacations, it's kind of like, and you see this when you go different spots where people show up and then they're just a different person. Like, the way that it's not uncommon to see somebody freaking out at a hotel representative, like becoming a complete Karen or something, because they're not themselves on vacation.
Disinhibited.
Yeah. Completely. And like that's this movie to the extreme.
Well, and you also get to pretend too, like people who aren't necessarily affluent in their everyday life,
yeah,
who have maybe saved up to do this huge splurge, are stepping into those shoes for the trip. You know, they're loving the luxury, the big thick cotton robes that come in the hotel room, and
yeah,
like, and then people who are like the group that James meets in this like hedonist club that he joins, their lives, they're affluent in their everyday life, and what thing can they not have in their everyday life is to live lawlessly.
Yeah.
So that's the mask that they're putting on this vacation, is that they are these crazy, disinhibited, free-for-all hedonists. Hedonism is the only word I have for it. You know what I mean? Like, is there another word for it?
I don't know. You could say nihilist, but it wouldn't really work. But yeah, like, they're in excess of everything here. James is a great character for all of it, because like, he doesn't belong in the publishing world. He doesn't belong in the economic class that he's married into.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't belong in his marriage. He doesn't belong with these group of people. Like, he is just a nowhere man in all of this.
That's what I think is so interesting. And I kind of touched on this a second ago, where I was like, okay, they're putting masks on for this vacation. And I think, too, and this comes to the ending, why he's the only one that stays is because he has taken the mask off. He has seen who he really is, whereas everybody else is putting a mask on for their vacation. He's living a life of, like, I'm pretending to be this, I'm pretending to be that, I'm pretending to be this. And then when he goes through this experience of, like, the cloning and the murder and everything, he's like, oh, I'm just a depraved dirtbag who should live in the monsoon.
Yes. This week's episode of Nightmare on Film Street is brought to you by Diabolik DVD. You already know these guys. For 25 years, Diabolik DVD has been the source for horror, cult, and weird cinema to customers around the world. Diabolik offers a one-stop shopping experience for all your favorite labels, including Cauldron Films, Arrow, Synapse, Def Crocodile, Mondo Macabro, and many more from all corners of the globe. Whether you're looking for the definitive version of City of the Living Dead, or you're trying to upgrade your crusty old DVD of Cannibal Holocaust, Diabolik DVD is the owner-operated small business choice you've been craving. Shop online at DiabolikDVD.com and visit their sister company, Cauldron-Films.com. P.S. All orders are shipped in a box, because they're not jerks and they know you don't want your Blu-rays damaged when you get them. That's DiabolikDVD.com. spelled DIABOLIKDVD.com. Get yourself some physical media, because there's no streaming service out there better than your own DVD shelf. Oh, it's finally Halloween, weirdos, which means it's time for you to get your butts to Sleepy Hollow. The Sleepy Hollow International Film Festival is taking over Tarrytown, October 10th to the 13th, for another year of spooktastic fun. This is truly one of the best film festivals that we have ever been to. We went the first year, and it was just an absolute blast. There's nothing better than New England in October. And if you can watch a whole bunch of horror movies in the town where the Headless Horseman lives, that's how you want to spend your Halloween. This year, they've got a ton of movies at the festival, including newer films like Hippo, which we saw at Panic Fest, and I'm just constantly thinking about that movie. The Activated Man, starring Tony Todd, and their closing night film, Getaway, the new Nick Frost movie. They're also hosting a 75th anniversary screening of the Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. They're playing Tim Burton's Sleepy Hollow and Ed Wood, including a sneak peek of a new Tim Burton documentary series. They've got a retrospective screening for Ray Bradbury's Something Wicked This Way Comes on a double bill with a making of documentary. They got something for everybody at this film festival. Like, they got stuff for kids. They got stuff for adults late night, too. If you want to watch a screening of Maniac with director William Lustig live in person, this is your opportunity. And the Sleepy Hollow Film Festival will also be featuring cocktails from Nightmare on Film Street's upcoming book, Cocktails from the Crypt. If you want a sneak peek, you want to taste some of these spooky concoctions that we've put together, they're going to be serving up drinks from the book at the Horse Feather Restaurant and Bar, a staple of Sleepy Hollow. They have a seat reserved for the Headless Horseman, and it's your first opportunity to try out some of the drinks in Cocktails from the Crypt, coming out in November. Tickets and info can be found at SleepyHollowFilmFest.com. And honestly, if you're anywhere on the East Coast or you've been looking for an excuse to visit family back in New York, you gotta go. That's happening October 10th to the 13th. And more info and tickets can be found at SleepyHollowFilmFest.com.
We might be too old for free candy, but we're not going to let that stop us from having a ghoul time. This October, we're playing Trick or Treat with the Spirits of Halloween over at the Nightmare on Film Street Fiend Club on Patreon.
Each week, we're pulling movies at random from our spooky mystery cauldron. It's a McDonald's boo bucket. And we're either going to be given a treat, that's a horror movie we really want to talk about, or a trick, a horror movie we hoped we'd never have to discuss in public.
Join us as we let the spirit of Halloween take the wheel and play Trick or Treat with the Nightmare on Film Street podcast, only on our Patreon at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. That's nofspodcast.com/fiendclub.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal. At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
is now the time to talk about the very end of the movie? I don't know.
We're here.
I love the end of the movie. We see him, you know, refuse to go home. Basically, the resort's completely emptied out. It's the raining season. Nobody's staying there. And he's the only person. He's just sitting on a beach chair. The rain is pelting him. He can't go back home. He's no longer the person he is. He'll never be able to return to the life he had. And part of it's because he realizes that it was all fake anyway. Like,
yeah.
He was not anything that he thought he was, anything that he claimed to be. He's really realized the emptiness of his own soul.
Yeah, and I think it's in direct contrast, too, because you thought the people that he was with, this club, this murder club, they were the depraved ones, and they're disgusting, and they're the ones that are, like, free up for murder. But he's in direct contrast to them on the bus drive back to the airport to go home. They're all, like, going back into their lives, and they're talking about mundane things like laundry
yeah.
and paying the guy that worked on the house, and... He's changed. He can't go back to that world.
Well, so that's what I think makes them truly the worst people, because they can just flip that switch.
I think that everybody's pretty gross in it. I think everything they do is pretty evil, but I think there's something like in his soul that he can't turn it off now.
Oh, so like I don't know that he's necessarily obsessed with the lawlessness of, you know, and the depravity of what he had sort of
But I think he can now come to the terms with, like, oh, I'm scum.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a lowlife.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to stay here. There's a really great line. It's pretty early in the film, but it's right after, you know, the first murder and, like, the first night of debauchery. I guess the second murder. And he goes back to his room and M, his wife, is like, you've gone wrong behind the eyes. Did she say, I think she says, like, you look at, like, those crabs at the dump. But... There's something different about him, like, you know, like the light's gone out or like he's changed. He's fundamentally different.
Yeah. And like there is a fun little conversation in the middle of the movie. And this is where I thought the movie would have gone when I first watched it, about whether or not you like how would you ever know if they actually killed the clone or if they killed the real James? Like you paid to be cloned.
But... I love how it is handled in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's a conversation. It is an offhand question that somebody asks him when he joins the club. Like, who do you think they kept?
Yeah. You'd never have any way of knowing, because the whole core of it is that the clone has all of your memories.
And I think that's what's so liberating for them, is that they don't know and they don't care.
I don't... that's a good question. I don't know if that factors in for them. I think that's
maybe
just
it's
like,
not don't care, but it's just like there's a power in... not lingering there. There's a power in turning that thought off. And
I don't think it matters for them. I think ultimately the biggest deal for them is that they can just buy their way into doing anything.
I think superficially, yeah, but I think there's something here, and why I think this is such a great pairing with our last film is that they themselves become zombies. They have figured a way to survive death, and I think that's where the title Infinity Pool comes in.
Yes.
It's just like the handle of the axe theory. Like, if it's not me that goes on after this incident, like, what if they do murder me and keep the clone? Like,
yeah.
The clone has the memories and the consciousness, so, like, does it matter?
And, well, here's the other thing, too. They are only getting worse. Like, these people come back to the resort year after year, and they're always monsters, and they get away with murder.
Well, yeah, because just murdering citizens of Lotolka isn't enough. Now they have this cat and mouse game that they've revealed that they find an unsuspecting, basically a pathetic person, and they induct them into the world.
It's the worst jumping in you've ever seen for any gang, right?
Yeah, like,
I don't understand how anybody would...
This is some crazy hazing.
I don't think they really expect him to come back in. I mean, maybe if he does, cool, that's fine and all, but like at the end of the day, he is just their plaything.
Yeah, and I think they've probably done this before, and it's probably why the group is so small, is that people can't handle it. Like, most people I would say are like M. Like, they go through it and they're like, we're never going to speak of this again. I want to go home.
Yeah.
I want to get on a plane. I want my feet on American soil.
Yeah.
And the few that are like, hey, this is kind of liberating, become part of this club.
Uh-huh. I think for...
But you have to kill yourself first.
Yeah, that's the other thing, right? Like, they trick him into thinking that they've kidnapped a police officer who's giving him a hard time and getting a new passport issued. He's lost his passport. He can't leave the island. We find out later that the group, Mia Goth probably, has stolen his passport to keep him there. So
no, I think he hid his passport. I don't think his passport was ever lost.
He found it in her bathroom, didn't he?
Was it her bathroom? No, I think they were in his place.
Fuck.
Because
this is the problem with this movie, is because it's got so many themes and so many like things happening that you're thinking about it while you watch.
Yeah, no, I think the passport thing is just a farce. He, after experiencing...
He wanted to stay.
Yes, exactly. Because when he goes down to the lobby and he's like, oh, I'm going to go see if they can help me with my passport. He's like, yep, I'd like my room
That's
for another
true.
Week, please.
Yeah, and of course, it's under my wife. She's picking up the tab. Yeah, okay, no, you're right. That's a fuck up of mine there. Yeah, he definitely wanted to stay. He's getting... I mean, that's why he has, like, the creepy fucking smile when he sees himself get murdered. M can't handle it. She's like, you were like a fucking robot. Like, I don't understand how you can just watch that and
how awful was that scene, though, when Skarsgård clone was getting stabbed and he's screaming out for M. Like, he's screaming out for his wife because as far as he's concerned, this has all happened and he can't see beyond the darkness and, like, is his wife there? Like, it's... torturous.
Yeah. Now, there was something that I wanted to mention, that, like, there does exist a possibility where it is the clone that exists, and the clone is always what goes on. Now, that only works once, and then you've got these people that are clones, and then clones of clones, and it's like, maybe, that's maybe the theory for why the real people exist, because, like, cloning a clone is probably no
maybe
good.
That's something to do with what the masks are like, because it's, like, too many copies, and it gets distorted.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, that could explain why they are getting worse and worse over time. I don't think that's true. Like, I don't think that it's like they have no soul.
No, I don't think the movie's making a statement on whether or not the clone is continuing or not.
No, not at all. It's
because I don't think that's relevant to the story it wants to tell. I think it could be either.
No, once these people can get away with anything, they just become the absolute worst versions of themselves, and every year they keep trying to push the envelope more and more.
There is a great rug pull where we think we're with the OGs after committed a home invasion murder situation, and they're waiting in the waiting room, and they're wearing like their backless gowns, and they're like, I wish I had some water.
Yeah, they're like,
and they're like, we're gonna make an example out of you. You guys are fucking just doing this for fun now. This is serious business. This is law and order. And then they put them out and they execute them. They slit all their throats. And then we reveal that they're clones, that this is the punishment. And the group is hanging out in the rafters, just hooting and hollering and loving every minute of it.
It's crazy. Yeah. I think for James, it doesn't
matter.
I love
that little rug pull.
Oh, it's awesome. It's such a good moment in the movie. It doesn't matter for James in the end whether he's the clone or not anyway. Like, if he even found out he was, it wouldn't matter.
Because I think he's got no soul.
No, yeah, he's dead. Like, the old James is gone.
I think the old James wasn't real.
No, agreed. Yeah, absolutely. And he can't face it. That's why he's, like, whether it's literal or metaphorical, he'll never leave that resort. Mm-hmm. Even if he goes back to, I think they're from Australia, or if he goes back to America or whatever the fuck, like, he goes back home, he will always have died at that resort. It's a fucked up movie.
One thing I really, really enjoy about this movie, and maybe this is my favorite movie of Alexander Skarsgård's.
Sure.
Because he plays such a pathetic character.
Absolutely pathetic.
Just how much you have to leave your ego at the door as an actor to play somebody so pathetic.
Absolutely. Yeah, everything about him is bad.
Yeah, and like, you're not on side with him at any point in the movie.
Uh-uh.
Like, for a protagonist, it's very unique in the sense that as an audience, like, we're not necessarily ever rooting for him. We're just experiencing the movie.
Which is great, because he is the victim of a lot of shit from Mia Goth and the gang.
But like, he's leering at Mia Goth, and he's falling for her weird seductive shtick that you can see coming a mile a minute.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, like, he's just... sad.
Yeah. It's like every decision's a bad decision. He doesn't have anything to him. He's totally pathetic. There's nothing really about him to root for, other than you're just like, oh, I don't know if somebody should have to go through this. That's all. It's just like, and it's not even him. It's just a person. Like, I don't think anybody should have to go through this. I mean, he has brought it on himself a little bit. And yeah, he is just...
But yeah, you're just like, this is bullying.
That's right? It's like, he is everything that they say to him. Like, they call him a little sucky baby.
Which is quite literal.
It's literal. It's very true. Like, they make him confront a lot of harsh realities about who he is as a person.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time thinking about the sucky baby, the pathetic stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think the first time we watched this movie when it came out...
It's an assault the first time you see
it. Yeah, I don't think I was like, themes, whatever. Like, like, oh, a cloning movie was real gross. I think there's another... And this is the thing with movies that are kind of a barrage of ideas and thoughts and observations, is that you can kind of put so many things on it. So I don't know if this is true. I don't know if this is canon, but this is just something I was thinking about that I picked up on this watch, was that early on in the film, they ask M why she's with James, and she's like, oh, daddy issues.
Yeah.
And then the sucky baby thing with James is that he's got mommy issues.
Yeah.
And there's something like eternal about that. Like maybe that's the infinity pool, like that we're all like just fucked and carrying on to somebody else, like I don't know. I thought there was something to it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, for the other group, I think for them, you know, having died, having witnessed their own death, and then also coming back and murdering somebody, and by the sounds of it, probably also murdering themselves, either metaphorically or very literally, like they make James do, is a freeing thing for them, where they really sort of detach themselves from all of those hang-ups and everything. And for them, there is some therapeutic quality to all of this. Like, we are working through all of our problems. We are becoming better versions of ourselves, even though when you see them just walking around killing innocent people for no fucking reason. Like, they're trying, they say, to make James sort of evolve into a version of himself that he would be proud of, which is fucked. There's a, you know, another great line at the beginning of the movie. Actually, it's the same dinner at that Chinese restaurant where M talks about, you know, marrying him for daddy issues. Mia Goth says, "I see each act of failure as a physical and mental puzzle." And I was like, oh, that is 100% like a big chunk of what this movie's all about. Even the beginning of the movie, like the first lines of dialogue in the dark, it's Alexander Skarsgård talking in his sleep. And he's like, I can't be fed, or I can't exist on eating dead sand, dead white sand, or the white sand of death. And like, that's the vacation of it. Like, you can't go to a vacation and just sort of like rejuvenate yourself. Like, there's nothing about going to a resort and hanging out on the beach that's going to make you sort of discover.
It's not
going to
change who you are. You're not going to come back a different person. You're just going to come back tired and mad that you have to go back to work.
Yeah. And, but everybody seems to think that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I just need this vacation. I just need to replenish my whatevers. I need a rejuvenation. I need to relax and be, you know, get back in touch with myself. And like, it's all bullshit. It's always bullshit. And this movie sort of examines that, but to the fucking nth degree, right?
Yeah.
It goes off the goddamn deep end.
It's funny, too, that you're talking about how the movie's really just about what if you could murder people and what if you could exist forever? Like, what if you could be cloned and live on and you have that knowledge? But they lean so heavily on the fact that the government's just going to keep doing this for them. It's crazy. It's not like they have, you know, a mad scientist in their club who's figured out cloning and who can, you know, sneakily make them a copy that they can, you know, get arrested on their behalf. They're really trusting of this government to just keep offering up services.
That's true.
That's the trust and like the narcissism that they have because their wallets are full.
Yo, their wallets are full and the country is so damn poor. Like, once that country maybe starts getting like a little bit more of an economic footprint, that's gonna go away.
But just the balls, like they're out and wide open, they're spitting cherries at people.
really can't get over that.
They're running buses off the road, they're just shooting into the air. Like, they are Wild West bandits.
Yeah.
Out in public. It's crazy. The cojones on this group.
I said it before, man. Money can buy anything except a soul.
I would be of the M variety. Like, I would be fingers crossed.
Oh, get the fuck out of there.
Praying that they're being honest when they say, like, hey, clone situation, this is all cool. You just need to sign here. Give us a ton of money. Like, once I give them a ton of money, I'm like, they're gonna gas me in the shower.
Yeah.
Like, this weird shower with red goo, not a real shower.
No.
This is where I die.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm getting out. I'm dead. And if I get out of here alive, I'm leaving and I'm never coming back and I'm never telling anybody to go here.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's maybe, like, philosophically one of Brendan Cronenberg's best movies. I think Possessor is still my favorite of his. They do exist in the same sort of trippy, psychedelic world.
I think Antiviral is my favorite. But
Antiviral is so fucking good. We've never talked about it at length on this podcast. We should really get into it sometime. But yeah, Infinity Pool is a very strange movie because I love talking about it. I love thinking about it. It is not always an enjoyable
watch. It's not always the most, yeah, like we've seen it now 3 times, I think, and it's just like, I'm going to start thinking about themes while I'm watching this because some of these scenes are really uncomfortable to digest.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. It is very moody. It's definitely
Mia Goth gets really shrill in the end half, and nobody tones her down.
Yeah, yeah. It is definitely not a hootin' and hollerin' kind of movie. It's not a Friday night flick by any means. Like, this is Sunday with one glass of wine that you don't finish.
Yeah, and you don't watch this with friends. Like, this is not a movie you're like, hey!
Which is hilarious.
You're like, you have to sit in your shame and watch this.
Yeah, it's an experience, man. I'm eternally interested in whatever he's got coming out next. Like, he's such a great filmmaker.
Yeah, he's banging. He hasn't put out a bad thing.
Yeah. So what's your rating of Infinity Pool? And also, like, what is the best way to watch this movie?
Well, like you said, with like a glass of wine that you don't finish.
Yeah. Okay. So at home, alone, quiet night.
Yeah. You make popcorn and then you regret it and you just like let it sit there and get cold.
Curtains drawn. Maybe covering the eyes of your dogs as you're getting through it.
Unplug the phone.
What we're describing is shame. Like, that is exactly what we're describing.
Yes. So I'm going to be really weird on this one, because normally I rate movies in terms of like fun, like a level of fun and how enjoyable they are to watch.
This movie's not fun.
This movie is fun to think about, and it's fun to like dissect and talk about and break down, and even just like, what is the title referring to?
Sure.
Every time I think about it, I have a different reason. So for that reason, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I think I always actually thought that this was your favorite of the Cronenberg movies. I think you definitely like it more than Possessor. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think I do.
Yeah.
I have to revisit Possessor because my memory is a goldfish.
I would love to rewatch Possessor. Let's do it tonight. That one also fucked up. A little bit more of a hoot and holler than Infinity Pool. Yeah, I'd give Infinity Pool, again, if I was just rating it on fun, it would be a little bit lower.
Yeah, right? Because if it was like rated on a fun factor, I'd be like, ooh, yeah. 2.5.
Conceptually, visually, thematically, 3.5 out of 4.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has that sort of Francis Ford Coppola quality that I always have a hard time describing. It's like, you know those... Okay, it's when I watch Francis Ford Coppola movies, there's a moment where I'm just kind of exhausted in the middle of it.
And you're like this is great, but stop.
It's taken so much out of me. The same way that, like, you're on a 2-week vacation, and by day 8, you're like, I'm ready for this to be over. Like, you know, this is nice and all. It's relaxing, but I'm not doing... Like, I'm empty in a way that I've never felt
empty.
You're
on the beach and old.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. That's what this movie feels like to me. And, yeah, I'd give it a 3.5 out of 4. I do love the end of it. I think it's, like, a great visual. If you're always sort of, like, spinning the wheels on what this movie is or is about, I highly recommend you check out a movie from the 60s called The Swimmer. It is by no means as gross and weird and psychedelic, but it has...
I mean, it looked pretty psychedelic to me.
I showed Kim the trailer, yeah. No, it's purely from a psychedelic era. It is not a horror movie, but if you're looking for something to mull over, I think about both of these movies all the time.
All right, interesting. I do want to leave us on something, because this was a very, like, philosophical episode of Nightmare on Film Street.
Yeah.
And it was lacking our, like, you know, surface level fun.
There's so much gore and stuff
silliness.
In this movie. What did we do?
So here's my official Nightmare on Film Street review
of
Infinity Pool.
Uh-huh.
It's if I Know What You Did Last Summer took place and I still know what you did last summer.
What the fuck? That's great. No, that's wild. I love
right?
that.
Right? Isn't it, like... Refute it. You can't.
Yeah, I haven't updated it in a little while, but that's the pull quote I'll put in the Letterboxd review. Okay, well, anyway, that's it from us. That's what we thought of Brandon Cronenberg's Infinity Pool. Hit us up on social media or in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord and chat with us about Infinity Pool. You can find that at...
And it's private, so you can share your shame.
Anonymity's the key, guys. Yeah, you can find links to everything at nofspodcast.com/go. There's a link for it in the episode description wherever you're listening to this episode. And if you want to go to the Discord directly, that's nofspodcast.com/Discord.
Until next time, I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time. Stay creepy, fiends.
Get ready to scream, shiver, and maybe even lose a little sleep. It's time for Nightmare on Film Street's 31-Day Horror Challenge. 31 horror movies, 31 days, 31 chances to win a spooktastic prize pack to help keep Halloween alive 365.
This year's prize pack includes goodies from Nightmare on Film Street's new upcoming book, Cocktails from the Crypt, 4K remastered copies of Demons and Demons 2, a Stephen King Blu-ray box set, Spirit Halloween lunchboxes, pumpkin carving kits, Halloween CD soundtracks, including the long out-of-print Monsters Speak, Nightmare on Film Street sticker packs, and more.
The rules are simple. Head over to nofspodcast.com/Halloween. Download the 31-Day Horror Challenge Movie Guide and post your Halloween watch list on social media using the hashtag 31-Day Horror Challenge to make this Halloween a night you'll never forget.
That's nofspodcast.com/Halloween and the hashtag 31-Day Horror Challenge.
What's your favorite scary cocktail? If you've been searching for the perfect way to elevate your horror movie nights, look no further. Cocktails from the Crypt is here to satiate even the most bloodthirsty killers with a collection of chilling cocktails. Created by us, your favorite horror podcasters and all-round weirdos, this horror movie cocktail recipe book is packed with movie trivia, cocktail tips, and hair-raising drinks crafted to pair seamlessly with the most iconic movies the horror genre has to offer.
Cocktails from the Crypt features 60 sinister sips, each designed to transport you into the heart of your favorite horror films, including the Texas Chainsaw Margarita, Freddy's Boilermaker, and the Frankenstein Fizz.
Don't miss your chance to be among the first to own this ultimate horror movie night companion. Pre-order Cocktails from the Crypt now from your favorite retailer. You know, like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Bookshop.org, Chapters Indigo, Blackwell's, or you know what? Just head to nofspodcast.com/go. We've got all the links there for you.
And don't forget to follow Nightmare on Film Street on social media for exclusive sneak peeks and behind-the-scenes glimpses from the making of Cocktails from the Crypt.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.